It's that time again, ladies and gentlemen.
The market.
Get the funk on.
With Justin Womack.
I'm Andrew Sturgeon.
And I'm Gwendolyn.
Yeah, Gwendolyn.
Gwendolyn
is fashionably chic.
And the marketing geek.
And we like marketing. Yeah.
We're geeky for marketing. Geeky for science fiction.
Get your funk on.
Superheroes.
Get your funk on.
Geeky for funk, although I can only take my funk so far.
Speaking of funk, you know who's been in a funk recently, Andres?
Who's
Mark
that?
Zuckerberg. Mark Zuckerberg.
Yes.
The man lost. I've heard estimates anywhere from $15 to $17 billion yesterday, as the Facebook earnings were underperformed significantly, and the user growth has slowed for the first time in maybe a decade.
So what is he like? Is he saying to himself, now I've only got enough money to spend in five lifetimes?
Well, you know what he is saying. He had just, I think 2 days ago, he had just passed Warren Buffett on the all-time richest people list. So he is now far behind Buffett. So Buffett is just laughing his way to the bank right now.
So what's happening, fellas? Why is Facebook taking a dive? What's going on?
This is a very good question, and to answer that question, then you have to talk to my 11-year-old stepdaughter and my 13-year-old stepson, and you have to ask them why Facebook is tanking, and they will tell you because no one's effing using it. That's what they would say.
Just old people, the younger crowd, the screenagers tell me that they're using Instagram and Snapchat. And they're not using Facebook.
That demographic, I completely agree. I think it's like 25 and under is all Instagram and Snapchat. Now, lucky for Facebook, you know, they own Instagram. So the fact that their stock is still tanking means that their Instagram asset is also, that must not also be performing. Because, you know, if the stock drops, that's all their assets. So it's not just Facebook here that's going to be creating that drop. So they're having problems all around. And, you know, a lot of that comes back to the Cambridge Analytica scandal. And then a lot, you know, in the news right now, there's so many things about the way that news is spreading. There was a big thing where some of Congress members have been trying to get InfoWars censored off of Facebook, and Facebook has been, they've been hesitant to do that because they feel that it's on the borderline of, are we suppressing free speech?
Yeah.
But so far they've left it on, but they've done what they call, they've de-emphasized the content, or they've de-ranked it. So it doesn't show up as prominently as other news feeds, but it's still available on there. So that's an interesting controversy happening. And then Twitter right now too, they've deleted something like 200 million fake accounts over the last month or two. And I think one of the biggest problems with Twitter in the past has been the fact that it's more of an anonymous platform. And whenever you let people be anonymous on any platform, you're going to get the worst possible versions of them to show up.
Well, there's a couple of other things at play too. I mean, you know, James Gunn, who unfortunately got fired unjustly, I believe, from Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, because he had some old tweets, Rian Johnson just the other day deleted like 20,000 tweets. And, so people are starting to self-censor because they're afraid of the backlash. You can't really speak your mind freely because people are losing their jobs. But I think that there's a bigger issue here. And this is the main thing that we want to talk about today. And that is, in a day and age where people are not being able to be targeted as easily because they're targeted too well, how do you digitally market to people in a day and age when just a few years ago it was all about Facebook marketing? I would probably tell most companies, unless it was a very specific type of company, to stay away from Facebook marketing and look towards more like either Google AdWords or in-app advertising, different things like that. But the bigger issue is this, is if you use Instagram as your main means of communication, the ads that are able to stream through that timeline are not as robust and people are ignoring them. So as the old saying goes, if the product, if you have to pay for the product, then you're paying to make that product work. If you're not paying for the product, you are the product. And with Facebook, you are the product, right? So if that product, you, is not putting money into Facebook or buying things through Facebook or Instagram or any of these other platforms, then the thing isn't going to make money. So I think that there's a bigger issue here, which is not so much like, you know, we can argue, well, it was Facebook's earnings for this or that or this scandal or that scandal. The bigger issue is, how are people able to be advertised to? And if people aren't responding to the advertisements anymore, that stock is going to drop. And that's what I think happened.
That's interesting. And I don't know if I agree as much with you that Facebook advertising is not the way to go still, but the platform has taken a step back, and largely due to two things: the scandals and then the GDPR and this whole thing in the European Union. The GDPR is the what does it stand for again, Andres? Something privacy. It's about the privacy settings that are that email marketers are able to use. And so the GDPR is a new legal resolution in the European Union that has made it. They've tightened the way that you can target other people in the European Union or European Union citizens, even if they're living in the United States. So it's a lot more difficult now to be able to market to those people on email, but it's also tightened the targeting. And if you go into Facebook right now and you try to target people based on income or if they're a homeowner or things like that, you'll get a warning message that pops up that says this targeting is available now, but it's about to be removed. So the ability that Facebook used to have, where you could target by income threshold, you could target by like the type of credit cards or how many credit cards they had, you could target by if they were a homeowner or not, those are being taken away. And that's largely due to the privacy thing. Yeah.
Right. And also because I think that on some level, everybody in the Facebook organization probably got real woke. And no matter how you deny it or try to deny it or try not to deny it, the facts have shown that Facebook was weaponized for the American election, and it was weaponized for the election coming up. And you know, Vladimir Putin went on record and said that, yes, we tried to sway the election. I mean, all the facts are there, right? So I think that there's a Facebook overload. People are like disengaging, and it's like anything else. If you have something hit over your head a million times, eventually you're just going to ignore it completely. So I want to turn to my non-tech expert, Gwendolyn. Yes. And I want to ask you.
Oh, Gwendolyn, hang on. I just have to stretch. I fell asleep there for a minute. Fellas, what are we talking about?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We're talking about.
Oh, I'm awake now. What's going on?
Where are you? Where are you, by the way?
Oh yeah. Last time we talked, I was, I went from the Netherlands to London, from London to Paris, and from Paris, I decided to come back stateside, and I'm now at my place in Cocoa Beach, Florida. Just left Ron John's surf shop and got some new flip-flops, so
very nice.
It's a good day.
You have a big announcement that we're going to unveil a little bit later, don't you?
Well, I don't know how big it is. It's
big. It's huge.
Okay.
It's huge. It's all right. Huge.
It's a big one. Let's. I want to hear from you though. So, Gwendolyn, we were talking about Facebook. We're talking about Mark Zuckerberg. We're talking about privacy and in Facebook advertising, particularly. They're taking away a lot of the targeting features that used to be available to advertisers, like your ability to target people based on their income, target people based on their homeownership, or specific things like that. Are being taken away from the advertising platform. So I want to hear, are you on Facebook? Do you think that it's still a viable advertising platform?
Sure.
Let's hear a little bit of your take on this.
Let me tell you a little bit.
I want the non-techie.
Well, actually, I have advertised on Facebook. I won't get into any titles or anything, but I did write a book. I've written a couple books, and I did some advertising, and I tried to target specific. I was allowed to go through the advertising process through Facebook and target certain audiences that had certain names come up within their profile. And so I did use Facebook advertising. So for like $40, I could reach, you know, 10,000 people or 20,000 people. I can't remember. It's been a couple of years. And I did.
What were your results like?
Well, I have to tell you, I got a lot of likes, but as far as purchases, I did not get a lot of purchases. So I didn't have a lot of luck with actually the sales component. And I don't know if that's mm-hmm. because I didn't really know what I was doing at the time as far as making the print and the copy so that people would have to say yes to purchase it. But I also that woke everybody up too. But I also found that I could change the demographic too. So like I would change the demographic and then I'd hit a different audience and then things started to pick up. So then when my book came out on Amazon, more people started to purchase it. So and the digital file, more people started to purchase. So instead of actually getting a physical book, I found that many people in the field in which I wrote the book started to buy the digital copy to be able to put on a large screen or their phone or laptop, you know, that kind of thing. So as far as Facebook advertising, like I'm going to tell you, when I'm not having a good day, I like looking up pictures of kittens and puppies and babies and cute things. So those things flash up all the time on my feed. So I'm constantly getting pictures of, you know, cute little kittens doing really adorable things and pictures of t-shirts with cats on them. Okay, now I'm the fashion.
How much are you buying though? How many of those are you actually buying?
There is absolutely no way in hell I'm going to buy a t-shirt with a cat on it and wear it. This is not going to happen. Okay. They're cute, you know, and maybe for someone who's 85 to 110, that's like the perfect shirt for them to wear. But I am not, as much as I love cats and kittens, I am not wearing a cat shirt. I am not going to be considered the crazy cat lady. So
here's the question I really have, and this is the meat of it, because you know, you're not like a tech person.
Right.
So what motivates you online to buy something? Like from the moment you decide to purchase something to the moment you buy something, can you give us just a rundown of what that process is for you?
Well, first, I know this is a whole different episode, but I'm an Amazon Prime member. So if there's something I need, I just look on Amazon Prime and see if they have it. Now, I know that's putting JCPenney's and major department stores out of business, but it's convenient. It gets shipped right to my house, especially if it's something heavy. Free shipping for things like kitty litter, 40 pounds of kitty litter. The price is $2 less than at Walmart, and it's free. Shipped right to my house. I don't have to carry it from Walmart to my trunk of my car, from the trunk of my car to my basement. It comes right to my house and I just have to bring it down to the basement. So, you know, those types of things are real practical for me to purchase online. So it depends what I'm looking for. I am not going to come across something because I'm not a tech person. I'm not going to come across something on Facebook or a social media platform or television, you know, as seen on TV. And I'm not going to say, oh, I need to have that. Like, I am not an impulsive buyer. Right. I'm not going to be watching right. the okay, Home okay. Shopping Network saying, I can't live without that. So
Let me ask you this, Lisa. Were you, when this like Cambridge Analytica scandal went down, were you tempted to leave Facebook like some people did? Or was that something that did that affect your desire to be on Facebook at all?
So I'm a late bloomer. I started on Facebook, in December, it was a year. And the reason I started is because I wanted to see my friends' children, grandchildren, and everybody was kind of growing up. And I'm like missing out on all of my extended family, my relatives and their children and what's going on in their lives. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to be an inactive user. I'm not going to do any posts or anything. Well, then I said, oh, well, you know, this is cute. I'll post that. Or then people started to tag me and, you know, put me in different posts. And so I started to have a little bit of fun with the social networking part, but no, you know what? There's always a scandal. There's always something that, you know, and I don't put anything out there that's going to say to my employer, oh my, you know, she's really not behaving herself. We need to call her in the office. You know, so I think people have to use judgment what they're putting out there. And I have my settings set so that nobody can see my friends unless people, you know, post to something. Everything is just for my friends to see. Things like my year that I'm born, only I can see. So I have it very private. There's very little information people can find out about me. And
okay, so here's the bigger question that I have, because this what you've just painted is kind of the landscape of what I think a lot of people are dealing with. So you're not a millennial, but you are definitely a demographic that uses Facebook on a regular basis.
And I date millennials. Let's just clarify that.
So but if you unravel like the people, so those people who are using apps like Instagram and WhatsApp, those are, it's impossible to advertise to people on those particular apps. So what I want to cover right now is figuring out like what are the methodologies that, and I want to open this up to any of our listeners who are also marketing people. What are the best ways to market in a world where we are unable to connect to people like we used to? Because the way that Facebook marketing used to work is, you know how you go to the grocery store and you swipe your card for the discounts on all the stuff, and basically you pay with your debit card. All of that data of like what you bought, how much money you're making, how often you go shopping, what you're shopping for, all of that data is compiled and basically given to Facebook. They buy that data. And then when you go into the Facebook advertising and you try and do Facebook advertising to somebody, you're targeting certain demographics. That's where that data is coming from. So if people aren't paying attention to, you know, what people are doing on Facebook as far as Facebook advertising, how do you digitally market to people in a world where it's dying? It's obvious.
Interesting that you bring that up, because I remember being a young child and watching television where they had commercials, you know, and I don't watch TV with commercials anymore because I'm watching, you know, Netflix or something like that. And so if I'm watching cable television,
what are commercials? Yeah. I'm a millennial.
Right, exactly. Like all of a sudden, you know, a McDonald's Big Mac commercial comes on and they've got this, you know, juicy food in your face. And then you get this craving to want to go buy a Big Mac at McDonald's or a pizza from Pizza Hut. And so I just remember those days. And I think, you know, I've probably lost 20 pounds since I stopped, you know, getting cable. I don't know. I don't know if there's a correlation or not, but I think I do know of a person who's really into a certain band. Okay. And because this person's a member of this band's following, where people post, you know, their band tattoos, they post their band, like Grateful Dead, for example, they post their Grateful Dead information, they post and share songs. There's a feed on Facebook that comes up and there's always a new t-shirt to buy. So my friend is constantly buying a new Grateful Dead t-shirt, like once a week, a new Grateful Dead t-shirt. And they're all freaking awesome, like really, really cool. Like, I don't know if you've heard of the company North Face. You know, yes. They make winter jackets, sweaters, that kind of thing for skiing. I'm a skier. Well, he got a t-shirt that said, "Steal your face." It was just cool. It was for a Grateful Dead fan, but it was the same print. And you look at it quick and you would just say, "Oh, that's a North Face t-shirt." Well, it wasn't. It was, you know, "Steal your face." So, you know, there's certain groups of people, I think, that get together and have similar interests. And those people that have similar interests are purchasing the things for sale on those sites. So I think, well, from what I've seen from my friends, they are on sites where they can get things that they like that interest them. If like one of them's a collector. Mm-hmm. And so she gets on this Facebook site for people who collect the same junk. I'm sorry, it's junk. She cookie jars. Who collects cookie jars? Cookie jars. She's on this cookie jar Facebook collector thing. Okay. And then I know other people that have...
So hold on. Let me just put it, but like stop you right there, because I think you're proving the point, stop a cookie jar, because what you're talking about is there are certain demographics who have certain groups that they go to and hang out in those groups to buy things and exchange things.
Exactly.
So, and this is my point, right? Which is, if you're a marketer, if you're looking to marketing, Facebook marketing works to a certain degree, but what the future looks like as far as marketing goes is customer engagement and forming communities. So a few weeks ago, we talked about forming a tribe, like what that looks like to form your tribe, find your group of people. And you know, it really comes down to being a leader and being an influencer and creating a situation in which you see a niche that isn't being addressed and you form a community around that particular niche. we as a culture, culturally, especially this younger generation who are not growing up with commercials. I mean, my three-year-old, if he's watching a YouTube video and there's a little countdown in the corner, 3, 2, 1, he skips the ad. He's three, right? He's growing up like the media that I, and I don't let him have a lot of screen time, but he watches Netflix, he watches YouTube videos, and he doesn't see advertising. So it doesn't affect him at all. And this is a lot of millennials. So the way that people are marketing nowadays, take notes, everybody, is you need to form a community and you need to get people around a campfire. This is what is pre-programmed in our reptilian brain is to gather around and tell stories and communicate with one another.
I see a lot of that happening. You know, I have so many people that'll send me friend requests, and then the people I know or know through another person, then I find out they're selling essential oils or they're selling candles or they're selling you know, some type of cooking thing, or they have these little infomercials. They want me to buy this. And, you know, for a while I'll follow.
Or they're selling the LinkedIn Mastery course. And with that, I'd like to just mention that this podcast is brought to you by the LinkedIn Mastery course. That's right. The LinkedIn Mastery course is where we are going to get a community of people together who have no familiarity with LinkedIn or the proper way to use it. And we're going to teach everybody how to have a master LinkedIn profile. And that is something that we are doing for free. Isn't that right?
For free!
Yay! Free! It sounds too good to be true.
Let me say a few
things. There has to be a catch.
Andros, so let's come back to Facebook and to advertising. I thought that was interesting when you said about your three-year-old watching YouTube. I've gotten to the point where YouTube ads bother me so much already that I pay their $14 or $15 a month for YouTube Red just to get rid of the ads. So I actually pay it. Yeah, I'm a subscriber. I've had it for almost a year. I happily will pay $15 a month to not be advertised to on YouTube.
Interesting.
Just to save that extra 20 seconds per video. Because I watch a lot of YouTube, though. I enjoy YouTube as an educational source. Secondly, I want to talk about Facebook a little bit more, because I think you're absolutely dead right with that. We're moving towards community marketing, and one way of putting that is if you think about it in terms of tribes, the first step is you're building a tribe. The second step is you're engaging the tribe, and the third step is that you're marketing to them. And ultimately, I think all businesses are built on that model. However, I do disagree a little bit with you about Facebook advertising and the effectiveness. And I think what's happening is there's an evolution in how Facebook ads are going to work. And the way that they used to work, I think, is not going to work as well as they did. But I don't think that they're going away. I think that there's just an evolution happening, and then marketers are going to have to adapt or perish, just like with any trend change. And there is a major change and shift happening in the landscape, but wherever there's attention, there's always the opportunity to market to people. And there's still a lot of attention on Facebook, even if, even with the controversies, even with all this, there's a lot of attention there.
Absolutely.
But I mean, ultimately marketing, the goal of marketing is to get in front of the eyeballs, and there's still eyeballs on Facebook.
Right. There are eyeballs on Facebook. However, when you're talking about people who are actually becoming the majority of the buying power, and that is millennials, like people who were born after, you know, around 1990 and on, all of those people do not respond to advertising the same way. So if you want to get in front of those eyeballs, right, we've already established that the first thing you need to do is build your tribe, build some sort of community, start a podcast, start a, you know, even though it's hard to do, YouTube channels, create some sort of place where people can gather and buy a certain type of product because they're passionate about ties or cat shirts or whatever that thing is. This has been very effective in politics, our side, you know, our tribe versus their tribe, whatever. But I think that it's really about getting the eyeballs together or finding where those eyeballs are, and not necessarily just flashing advertisements in front of them, but giving them information so they can really be passionate about whatever that thing is that they're passionate about. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, what I think happens is there's a lot of companies out there that pitch Facebook advertising as like this godsend solution to grow your business. And What happens is cold traffic on Facebook is a difficult audience to convert into a purchase. That's bottom line. It's very, very hard to do. And when you have a tribe, when you've built up a rapport with an audience and they know who you are, they know, like, and trust you, they're much more likely to listen to what you have to say. And then they're much more likely to potentially at least look at your offer. And so I think what happens is too many people are going and doing Facebook ads and they're just throwing their money away because they're going directly for their kill message right off the bat to a cold audience that has no idea who they are. They're a small brand that hasn't built a reputation. And that just doesn't work because they don't have the relationship with their tribe. What you're talking about, Andres, is you have to establish this some sort of credibility or some sort of thought leadership behind your brand, or you're just going to, or it's not going to work. And I've seen that over and over again. If you're not trusted as a thought leader, and if you don't have, if people can't validate your credentials and things like that, you're just throwing your money away on Facebook. So that's where I would agree.
And I think you hit it spot on. In fact, I had this client recently. It was this small software company, and they were trying to figure out like how to communicate to more people because they had a very, very niche market. And one of the things that I suggested to the owner of the company was that he do this very thing, start a podcast around the particular niche that they were serving. Because, you know, there's getting to be more competition around this particular niche. And I don't want to say what it is because it'll give it away. But one of the things that I suggested is like start a YouTube channel, give advice, but start a podcast like we're doing. And, you know, we're in future episodes, Justin and I are going to go over how to start a podcast and what that looks like.
A very meta episode where we podcast about starting podcasts.
Exactly. But you know, it's like we have people who our 7 listeners who have been enjoying this program and leaving very nice reviews for us, and people are listening to what we have to say, which is great. So everybody who's listening, tell 500 of your closest friends what we're doing here. But this is, you know, Justin and I are doing this partly because we love to help people. But also because it's helping, we're building a tribe. That's exactly what we're doing. It's fun. It's really fun. And we loved hearing the interactions. And so the companies that aren't doing this, you know, so you have to give something back. And like, for instance, if you're wanting to build your tribe, you have to give something. If you're Chipotle, you have to give E. coli to your clients, for instance.
Please give me more E. coli, Chipotle. Please.
I'll have the barbacoa, the corn, and the E. coli.
Just to emphasize what you're saying, Andres, I think there's 3 ways of really doing this, and we can talk about modalities like with NLP, bringing back NLP again, neuro-linguistic programming. You have the visual, auditory, and kinesthetic modalities of sensory that people have. So if you're more comfortable away from the camera, and we don't mind being on camera, but if you are more comfortable away from the camera, then a podcast is probably your top solution to market to your tribe. If you are if you do love the camera, then you could do Facebook Lives every day or every week, and you could create a show around Facebook Lives, and you can convert those to YouTube, and you can create an audience through video. And if you don't like either of those, then it's go the blog route, and you create your audience by being a writer, and you write about your topics, and you promote those through social media, through advertising. But you create your tribe through some sort of like a show or modality, like one of those 3. So the more you do that and you give content, the more you're building yourself up to.
Right. And so this, you've hit a very good point. So to sum up, if you really want to market to people in the 21st century, Facebook marketing, that's one way of doing it. Yeah, it can work. However, the way to do it most effectively is to build essentially a lighthouse that will attract your perfect customers. And that lighthouse has to be something that you give away. How-to information, videos, information, entertainment, any of those things, so you don't hit people over the head with advertising. I mean, when I was a kid...
So your customers are moths and... You are the light.
That is absolutely correct. Yeah. Look, when I was a kid,
that was a joke, people. That was a joke.
You know, I grew up, we had like seven channels. That's it. Saturday morning, they would play cartoons. There was no Nickelodeon. There was none of that stuff. They'd play Saturday morning cartoons, 8 a.m. to noon. And they would advertise like crazy as I'm eating Captain Crunch, like sugar cereal, stalactites of flesh are hanging from the roof of my mouth. And they would advertise over and over again for McDonald's. The commercials were better than the cartoons. They were so well produced. And when noon came around, all I wanted was a Happy Meal. That was it. That was the only thing on my mind. So when my mother finally rolled out of bed around noon, which was a common occurrence, that's what I wanted. And she was just like, I don't want to cook. I'll go to fucking McDonald's. And we can
eat. Well, I mean, I'm 35, so I was still around for the heyday of television and Saturday morning cartoons. And they, you know, I grew up watching, you know, commercials like that. I remember like McDonald's had Ronald McDonald and the Hamburglar and all these cartoon characters. Yeah. And I used to collect their toys. And I mean, sure. I was obsessed with the McDonald's brand and all these and Toys R Us brand. And the way that they marketed was super effective. I mean, they programmed me from a young age to want their products. And I would go to my parents and beg for those products.
Exactly. Because of their marketing. Here was the difference. There was 12 channels on television. And when that came on, it was like you either sit and watch that entertaining commercial for 30 seconds or you do something else, right? And nobody wanted – like because the commercials were so entertaining, you stay in front of the TV. You don't really turn the channel. But now with the internet, we have – zillions of channels, right? If something bores me in 6 seconds, I'm out, right? And so if there's an advertisement, and this is one of the by the way, one of the primary mistakes that people make when doing advertising on Facebook, especially if they're sharing video, is the first 6 seconds there's nothing happening. There's like a slow fade up to someone sitting there. And so you have literally like 3 to 6 seconds to get someone's attention if you're doing video. And we're going
to
do
when you do one, you have to be like, unless you want to give away $1 million, don't skip this ad.
Right, right. And so you'll see that a lot. You'll see that a lot. So you know, again, it goes back to you can't just bang people over the head with flashy advertising. You've got to move people. And part of what's happening in our culture today, and I tell me if you feel this too, but this is my own analysis, is that people are hungry for authenticity. They're hungry for realness. I think that the reason that President 45 has done as well as he has is because he's talking to people in a way that really hits them viscerally, and they feel that as authenticity. Right. And
well, it's also a contrast to what used to be the case in politics. Like he's the complete contrast of what we've had in the past. Like we've had prim and proper, and now we have like a say whatever the hell comes to your mind person running the country.
Yeah.
So it's a big contrast. But some people love that because they love to hear like a fresh take, and they don't want someone to filter their thoughts through what they think. That the you know what the numbers say they should say,
right? So what he's done is he's taken those people and he's built a tribe, and he's done
he's definitely built a tribe.
Those tribes 100%. Happen to be filled with you know people who some of them are Nazis. That's you know some of that tribe is there's a small demographic of Nazi in that, but even still, it's been effective enough that you know that was something that Hillary Clinton could not do. She could not. She could get a tribe of people who are like, I'm with her because she's a woman.
She could not turn the politician off.
She didn't turn and it felt inauthentic, and that was the problem. But Gwen voted for her anyway.
What?
What was it? Is it HillaryClintonFanClub.com? Is that the one that you own?
That's right.
Oh. Listen, let's not even go there. There are a few things I try not to talk about with people I consider friends, which would be Justin and sort of Andros. But, you know, I feel like Justin and I have a good friendship, and Andros, I'm kind of getting used to you. But the situation is I just don't like to talk about politics, religion, or sex with
Well, with, inevitably what happens is it becomes an emotionally charged conversation.
Inevitably, we end up hating each other.
I do have a few mentors
so
that
let's just not
will
go there.
Scream at me if we even bring up politics on a show like this. But I think it's okay to bring them up.
Yeah.
I don't want to make this like a partisan thing. But it, I think it's okay to bring them up from time to time because they're, you know, it's fun conversation. It's going out in the world. So
yeah, well, I mean, we have to address it. We have to address it because it's the world that we live in.
Oh yeah, but, I agree. I completely agree. But I don't run the Hillary fan club.
Oh, it's not you. It's a different Gwendolyn.
It is a different Gwendolyn. Yeah, there's probably another Gwendolyn out there somewhere. I don't know.
Who's running it? Guys, it was me. It was me the whole time. I was running the fan club.
Your pseudonym, I'm a phony. Gwendolyn.
I'm taking off my mask, and underneath the mask, I'm actually like Ming the Merciless or whatever. I don't know.
Well, you know, if your gender identity relates to Gwendolyn, you know, we can start calling you that, and we'll use the pronouns he and she and
you
her.
You know what? I prefer to be called a Gwendolyn American. Thank you very much.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha.
Got it.
So what we've distilled down here is that the world is running by tribes right now. It's basically like figuring out how to build the tribe. In America and Americanism and nationalism, and you see the spread of nationalism in politics all over the place. Now I'm going to throw a really I am going to get political here, okay? But uh-oh. not from the standpoint of I just want to point something out, okay? And I'm going to throw out a completely ridiculous conspiracy theory. Are you guys ready?
Oh, please. I love conspiracy theories.
Okay. So, Hold on. I'm going to put on my tinfoil hat. Okay.
Do you have a conspiracy sound effect that we could play?
Conspiracy. Okay. Here we go. This is Andro Sturgeon's conspiracy theory. Okay. So,
wait a minute. Are you starting this off talking about shapeshifters? Because if you are, I'm just going to zone right out.
No. Reptilian hybrid shapeshifters. So they're different than just shapeshifters alone.
Okay, yeah, great. He's got did read The Biggest Secret, so okay. Go ahead.
David Icke.
So pop quiz. What's the gang member, the gang that Donald Trump always talks about?
Oh, MS-13, right?
MS-13, that's right. And the story goes that we have to build this wall because the gang violence in Mexico is getting so bad that people are coming over the border and they're joining MS-13. Now, MS-13 is a brand, right? It's been marketed as like this thing that you should be afraid of. So I'm just going to throw out a little theory that I'm having. What if you wanted to stay in power, right? And you funded the gangs in Mexico to create sheer chaos, to create a situation where people have to come to safety, which they are. So people in Mexico, as because they've got some of the highest homicide rates in Latin America right now because the gangs are running the place. So parents are fleeing with their children. That's why they're showing up here, right? And if you sell this idea of MS-13 as this, like, we got to be afraid of these guys, you know, so we got to build this wall to protect us. But you say train a couple of enterprising young gang members in the School of Americas. If you don't know what the School of Americas is, folks, I suggest that you Google it and get woke to what the School of Americas is. But it's basically an American-owned assassin training camp. This isn't conspiracy. This is fact. So, but if you control basically the chaos that happens within an inner city and you brand it with your own brand, MS-13, and you control it, and you basically say, you guys can do whatever you want as long as you don't step out of bounds. If you step out of bounds, we're going to shut this down real quick, right? But the point is that if you control the brand of MS-13, then you control kind of the fear that's generated. So you create an us versus them. You create your tribe, and then you create the enemy within the bounds of who you need to be afraid of. The point is that MS-13 is a brand. Antifa is a brand. All you need is during a peaceful protest of several thousand people, you just need 100 guys in black outfits to run down the street and smash windows, right? And then you say Antifa, and then you could arrest everyone within that protest and try them for treason. And there's laws that have been put into place to allow this to happen. But in the 80s, and I'm going on a deep tangent
well,
here.
Well,
but
let me pause you for one second here, because I think what happens with a theory like this is the big problem that I see is like I used to hear this with like George W. Bush that he, you know, was in conspiracy land. He was the mastermind behind like 9/11.
Oh no.
And
not at all.
But I mean, that, but what happens is, like, you know, you have people that are calling somebody an idiot, and then they're calling them like this master maniacal genius at the same time. And I mean, it would take a pretty concerted effort to be able to pull something like this off.
But let's rewind the clock. In the 80s.
What does this have to do with marketing?
I'm getting to it. So in the 80s, the CIA ran an illegal operation where they brought crack cocaine into the inner cities and gave people a bunch of guns and basically created the gang problem that existed. And this is documented, right?
That's been recently unsealed. That's recently unsealed. This is all true.
Yeah, you can find it. This absolutely happened, right? There's been documentaries. Cocaine Cowboys, I think, is a documentary that talks about this a little bit. Anyway, you can find out this information. So since that time, don't you think the technology and the kind of the psyops and the methodology that they've used since that time to create that type of environment has improved greatly? Right. So all you need to do is you need to just create a brand, MS-13. You need to market that brand, be afraid of these people, and you need to gather your tribe against that brand. Right. Protesters.
Well, there's an argument. And after, you know, going back after 9/11, there was an argument that a lot of the propaganda behind Al-Qaeda was manufactured by the CIA. And that they had done what you're saying with what they're doing with MS-13. Now they had done that in the past. Now, that's all conspiracy conjecture. But that's the same kind of thing that you're saying is like we had that somebody had created an enemy on purpose to build goodwill towards an administration.
Yeah, exactly what's been happening. What I predict has been happening is that, you know, the reason that certain political forces have gone on television over and over and told the American public to be afraid of this particular brand, you could put anything under that umbrella. And basically what it's doing is it's marketing to people a way to be afraid of this particular thing so you can sell a narrative. Because when you're afraid, you go into these lower, like, I'm going to get so hippie right now. Hang on, people. Hang on.
You get lower frequency?
Your lower chakras. You get into your first and second
chakras. Even better. Yeah. Even better than frequency.
Yeah. And when you're in your fear, it's hard for you to think rationally. You know, people do like stupid shit when they're afraid. So the point is that if you get a bunch of people afraid, you would market to them in a specific way. You build a tribe around fighting that thing that you've created. Now, you know who's a master at doing this very thing? And this is, again, very documented.
In a non-conspiracy world, or is this like actually happening?
No, who actually did this? Who is a master at doing this?
Who is it?
Vladimir Putin. He started off. He started off in Germany during the end of the Cold War. The Berlin Wall came down. He was working for the KGB, and he rose through the ranks. He was head of propaganda. And one of the things that he did was he would basically create two sides, two politically opposing sides, and let them fight. And in that chaos, he would form the narrative. But he was controlling both sides of that, and that's kind of what he was doing. So again, here's to wrap up the big conspiracy theory. What if certain, say, political forces gave money to gang members in Mexico to turn that place into lawlessness? I don't know if you guys have been following, but they've been
not as closely as you. Not as closely as you.
Obviously. I've got a lot of free time. But journalists have been killed over there. Politicians have been killed over there. It's like if you try and speak out against what's going on over there, you get killed. So it's become like a war zone over there, right? People are fleeing, they're coming to the States, and then their children are ripped from them because they're trying to find safety from their parents. But the point is that you could fund that. You could basically say, we're going to allow this to happen. We're going to allow these gang members to happen. We're going to allow this Antifa group to happen, because then we can control the chaos and then we can control the narrative. But all of that stuff has to be marketed. Right. And the person that did this the best and who started this whole process was Edward Bernays, which was Sigmund Freud's nephew.
Dun, dun, so again,
wait. And that concludes Andros Sturgeon's conspiracy theory of the week.
Join us next week for another conspiracy theory.
All right.
Oh, I'm so glad you got through that.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
I tend not, I mean, I've, I think conspiracy theories are they're interesting. Like I've always drawn my attention to them, but I've never really bought into any of the big ones. But then again, every now and then, something gets unsealed, and you read about like MK Ultra, or you read about which was a mind control experiment by the CIA that got unsealed, or you read about what you were talking about with the Cocaine Cowboys documentary. So some of them are true. I think most of them are not. So they're interesting, but moving on.
well, here's all I got to say. Just Google MS-13 and look at the images and see what pops up and tell me if that isn't fantastic marketing.
We'll have to do that.
It's great marketing.
Gwendolyn? Yeah. Gwendolyn, is it fantastic marketing, Gwendolyn?
Listen, when I think about conspiracy theories, I think about sports. And I'm thinking, okay, did
Tom Brady is innocent. Tom Brady is innocent.
Right, but I really think like, okay, did that team just get paid this amount of money to throw the game? Because there's no way a major league pitcher could actually throw the ball that bad. You know, so I get into like different sports things that happen that are just so hard to believe. And I think, oh, it's like the team's given up. Like they stopped trying. So is somebody paying them to lose, you know? So, you know, I think that might happen. I may buy into some sporting theories of conspiracy, but I don't know. I'd like to believe that at the end of the day, people do what's right.
Yeah, I would like to think so. I agree with you. That at the end of the day, people do want to do the right thing. And as the saying goes, the problem with humans is that we go insane collectively, only gain our sanity one by one. And I think that's kind of we're in the midst of that. And so this is now I'm coming full circle. Okay. So back to millennials, back to.
This has been brought to you by tangent.com. tangent.com.
This whole episode's been one giant tangent. I'm sorry, people.
Just so everybody knows, I have slept through most of it, and I've done a little bit of shopping on eBay. So eBay is getting my money tonight for you people who are trying to market.
Are you getting advertisements on Facebook for eBay products now? That's the question. Are you being retargeted?
Yes, I am. I buy so much on eBay. So
it comes down to an interesting question, which is if everything these days about digital marketing is creating tribes, right? And so going back to my 11-year-old stepdaughter who uses Instagram to communicate with her friends, and the advertising is ineffective on there. And you're going, you know, Gwendolyn, to eBay, and you're finding your little niches. So the question is, as a digital marketer, how do you get a handle on this type of advertising when it's getting very, very clear that they're watching everything that we do, and they have it down to a science, so you can really figure out how to hit that niche market. It's like the Force, man. You can use this for good or for evil, you know? And
well, let me ask you this. Yeah. Okay, I'm looking at this beautiful purple dress right now, and I have a hard time finding things in my size.
Or are you on eBay?
No, I'm on eBay. Okay, this beautiful purple dress.
No, right? No, that's a yellow dress.
I love yellow, but it's purple.
It's a yellow dress.
Okay, it's a yellow dress. I love yellow, but this is a purple dress because this
we'll take your word for it.
Right. Okay. And it's my size.
It is yellow.
It's my size. Everything's perfect. If I were to buy it right now, okay, at the store, and it's by a major designer, it would cost me $109.99. I can get it on eBay for $23.99 plus $9.99 for shipping.
How do you know that it would really cost you that in a store, though? Is eBay giving you those numbers?
No, I just looked it up.
Okay, so you did your own independent research.
I did my own independent research.
Which brings us to another.
That's a buying strategy. So, that's a buying strategy.
So I look at that as what I would say if I go somewhere and I'm getting ready to leave. What do I say? Good. Bye. So it's the same thing. This is a good buy, but a good purchase. Oh, you didn't get my joke. Shit.
So I didn't get it right away, but I got it after the fact.
Okay.
Wait. When you did your research, what did you search? Like, what did you type into Google? Is what I want to know.
Okay, so it's by Ralph Lauren. Okay, and it's a petite size, at, because I'm not 6'5", I'm short. So then I put in the size that I needed, a 4 petite, and I put Ralph Lauren, I put the name, I put the size, I put everything in, the exact dress, and then I went to the exact description, and I got the price, and it was at a major department store. Okay, I'm not going to tell you which one, but it was either at Macy's or Bloomingdale's or Dillard's.
Did you look for this in Google?
Yeah, Googled it and then went to the store.
Right. Okay. So this shopping strategy that you've just talked about is actually very common. And what in future episodes, we're going to tell you, digital marketers, marketing geeks out there, how to this shopping strategy, which is very, very common, how you can leverage it to sell your brand or your product. Because there are ways to kind of game that system, because it is something that.
And to be a smart consumer, why would I pay 4 times the money for the same dress? It doesn't make sense.
Well, we take advantage of smart consumers like you. So we look for smart consumers like you, and then we try to get in front of them, and then we take their money.
Gotcha. But you know what I like about eBay, though? I can look at something, I can watch it for like a week or two, and I see that nobody's made any offers. And so then I can make an offer and like drop it down like $10 and then end up with something brand new with tags, $10 cheaper than what they were asking for it. And I know I saved maybe $80. So
do you know the difference between men and women? I think I really do believe this
of differences.
Really? Well, this is one of them.
What is it? Enlighten me, Andros, with your
I would pay $80 to not have to do all that stuff.
Oh, well, like, you know what? You're not paying me enough for this podcast that I can do that.
speaking of which, Gwendolyn, you have a huge announcement.
I do have an announcement.
That has to do with your goodbye.
I don't know. I don't feel like I need a drum roll. Charge. So I am going to be only guest appearing once in a while on the podcast from now on. I think our fans pretty much have said how much they really love and enjoy Justin and Andros. And so that being said, I'm going to focus on a different part of the business that Justin and Andros, myself and my friend Jenna are going to be working on. Remember, I talked about Jenna a little bit before. And this is going to be huge. Like, this is going to involve something really big that all of you are going to want. You're going to want, you're going to buy, and you're going to be an integral part of the market that will really become our tribe. So I'm excited about this. I've been doing a lot of research. Actually sent a draft to Justin, Andros, and Jenna today, and we're going to meet after this podcast to go over it. But this is such a time-intensive labor of love that I won't be able to spend time on the podcast, because this time, even though we have a great director that helps us with the script, joking, I've got a script in front of me right now telling me exactly what to say. Kidding. I have to do this for the team. So I'm taking one for the team. As much as I love to talk and share and, you know, crack my stupid jokes, this is more important because this is going to get information out to millions of people who need it. And the only thing...
And we'll be rolling out more information about this.
The only hint that I'm going to say is millennial. Just keep it along that line. Has something to do with millennials.
It's our left nostril inhaler business, which we're going to launch.
I already have $5 or $20 bills for that, I thought.
Yeah, well, Justin really likes to admit that he's a millennial, so we've kind
that
of...
That was a joke.
We've kind of, you know, decided that I'm going to spend a lot of time researching millennials. I've been doing that for a few years, and they're... Oh man.
but the way that you do it is unorthodox.
It's hands-on. It's hands-on is what it is.
Well, you know, they're a lot of fun. And so the generation, you know, between 20 and 30 right now, I can't find people my own age that are that much fun. So the problem is, as fun as they are, their work ethic and their ability to market themselves and get the jobs that they want doesn't seem to be happening for all of them. I'm not going to I'm not going to stereotype all millennials, but I am just going to say there are a few million millennials out there that need some help, and we're going to provide it. So yeah, absolutely. That's why I'm leaving the show.
And I got to tell you, like I've hired, you know, millennials, Gwen has hired millennials. Justin has too. And there is definitely some skill sets that are not available to some people. They don't know how to interview. They don't know how to get their LinkedIn profile together. LinkedIn profiles are really integral. In fact, if you are having trouble with your LinkedIn profile, we are going to give you a free primer on how to get a master LinkedIn profile with our LinkedIn Mastery course. Tell us about that, Justin.
August the 7th at 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Eastern time, and compare that to wherever you're listening in the world for your local time zone. But we will be doing a live webinar presentation on how to create a master LinkedIn profile, where we break down everything from creating the perfect headline, creating the perfect summary, and how to put all the pieces in place together so you're actually driving interest and you're communicating with either hiring managers or your target market. And then we're going to cover all that on August the 7th. So we delayed this from August the 1st. I had an emergency medical appointment that I could not reschedule. So we had to do it. I've emailed all the registrants personally. That was actually came from me, if you got that email. And I am, so we're excited for that. And Gwen, what were you going to say?
I can't remember. Are you okay? Emergency medical?
Oh yeah. Okay. No, it's for the baby, and it's not emergency actually. It's one of these doctors that is a specialist that just you cannot reschedule
with.
And we scheduled weeks in advance, yeah. And there was a communication error.
Yeah, I should go all Elon Musk on you and be like, I don't care if you got an operation for your baby. We're making history here. You got
to
get your priorities straight, man.
It sounds like Steve Jobs.
Mastery course is, because I can tell you right now, yeah. and how important the work is that I'm going to be doing behind the scenes when I'm not on the podcast. When I advertise for a position where I work, okay, I might get 200 to 500 applicants, okay, resumes, cover letters, and it gets very hard to sort out who I even want to call in for an interview. And that's trying to narrow it down to 8 to 10 people for a first round interview or a screening interview.
So the first thing
So
the first thing you got to do is market yourself.
Yeah. Well, the issue becomes if I see a typo, this could be the best person in the world for this position, but if they've typed something wrong, I may not give them a chance because I have to have some way of sorting out who has good command of the English language in writing or who has taken the time to have it proofread professionally. So, you know, I just go back to how important the message is that the two of you are delivering. And then the message that I'm going to be working on with the two of you and behind the scenes with Jenna, it's going to be really important stuff for the future of a lot of people. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. So we're going to have on some special guests on our next podcast. We're going to talk about marketing in a digital age where people are not getting the message. So we're going to get more into marketing techniques that you can
And I'll use. Be back from time to time. If you send an email that you missed me, I might be able to come back for a guest appearance.
That's right. And what did you think of our give me ideas on how to market to people nowadays?
Marketing geeks.
What did you think of my conspiracy theory? Got a conspiracy theory of your own? What's up?
Marketing geeks.
All right. So, from the Netherlands, this is Andros Sturgeon for the Netherlands.
I am Justin Womack. Stay classy.
Hey, be good. Peace out.